This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX. Sitting alongside me, his co-host is Ryan Cozy. He's the pastor of Missional Living at the chapel.
2 weeks in a row.
Nailed it. I get a prize. And joining us again for the second week is Pastor Jim Murphy from Restoration Church here in Buffalo. Pastor Jim's new to the area, but really has a passion for seeing people living out the mission of God in their lives. And so we've been talking about that on the last few weeks, and we're going to get into it today. We have a bunch of material to cover, really four areas of personal engagement, personal missional living that we want to talk about and how to do that. Last week, we talked about the why. We talked about why it's so important that individual believers get on mission with what God is doing, Ryan. And the why, I thought it went really well. And yeah. This week, we're going to tell people how.
Yeah, so, exactly. I think if you were tuning in last week, you want that real practical application. We're going to focus on that very specifically today. And just my excitement is just that my confidence in seeing Jim lead other churches through this. And candidly, Jim's skill and what he has brought to this conversation has been so influential that we've simply incorporated what he does into the mobilization of our disciples at our church. This, what you're going to hear today is what we really focus in on when it comes to missionally engaging lostness here in Western New York.
Well, it's great to have you, Jim, in Western New York, and another, you know, great, sharp guy who's living out the mission and just able to plug into what Western New York is doing. So welcome to Western New York, and thank you for coming, and thank you for answering God's call to upstate New York.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I'm grateful for your kind words, you guys, and feel humbled and privileged and honored to be a part of what God's doing here in Western New York.
That's great. All right, stay with us. A couple things I want to mention before our break. Go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, and go to Christ Together Radio. You can get all of our past episodes there. I'm told they're going nationwide. They're big time.
Oh, big time.
There's a number of people who are listening, are tuning into the episodes there. And obviously, you can hear us every Sunday here at 11 a.m. We're talking about what God is doing, not just in Western New York, but in his church in general. And just some really cool discussions that we've had, I think, that people will benefit from. So it's WDCXradio.com. Go to Christ Together Radio. You can click on that. Also, shoot us an email if you have a question about something you've heard. And you may have a question, especially about last week. You know, talking about why it's so important that Christians share their faith. And then today, as we talk about ways to do that, and we help you help yourself to share, you know, God's grace message of the gospel, you may have some questions. You may want to ask even Pastor Jim or Pastor Ryan something, or myself, or anybody. That we'll try to get your question answered, if not on the air, definitely in person or through an email back or whatever. So stay with us. We're going to be talking about IPES. Okay, that's a little teaser. You're going to want to know what that acronym stands for, because I think it's going to help you live out your faith. Christ Together Radio, Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy and Jim Murphy. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio, where the breaks are more fun than the show. No, we're having a great time here, laughing and talking about really what God is doing in Western New York. Not that that's funny, but it is fun.
It's fun.
And Brett Larson here, General Manager of WDCX, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy, who's pastor of Missional Living at the chapel, and Pastor Jim, I almost messed it up there, Pastor Jim Murphy, who is new to the area and a pastor at Restoration Church, and also helping with the Christ Together initiative in Western New York and engaging people as they go on mission for Christ. So last week, just to give you a quick recap, we talked about the why it's so important that we individually as believers bear the burden and feel the responsibility to share God's grace message and to make disciples. I think that's a great way that you put it, Jim, is that our responsibility, it's not just to share the gospel and then, oh, it's all good. It's to make disciples, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, that's the command that Jesus gave us. Go and make disciples of all nations. You know, this is about helping people follow Jesus.
And if you missed that episode, I want you to go back and go to Christ Together, our WDCX Radio's website, WDCXRadio.com, and click on Christ Together and listen to that episode because it's a good precursor for what you're going to hear today. So maybe after you hear this today, you want to go back and listen to that. Today, we're going to talk about the how. Because that's the big deal. That's the, we talked about at the end of last week, we talked about how people, they get nervous. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. And I don't know if I'm really cut out for this thing. And Jim and Ryan, you guys have been a part of putting together just kind of a simple plan or a simple process to go through that will help people as they go.
Absolutely. And I do think that your point's really important because everything we are going to say today rests on what we said last week, because whatever the how is, if it's not rested on a biblical foundation of why, and that doesn't provide the impetus for what how I live out these things, then honestly, evangelism is just activity.
And if I could add to, like, one of the things that even just recently, Piper's book, Bloodlines, he talks about just this aspect of, you know, without that biblical conviction, that there are times when believers are hit with a shot of adrenaline, but that sort of a believer, an adrenaline believer, is much more different than a coronary believer, that I am moved by a cause. I am tethered biblically by a cause, and therefore I give my life to this.
Oh. And because this work is hard, and we can't just live off of that emotion or those moments when things go good or when things go rough. There's got to be something deeper that undergirds it. So I strongly recommend going back and listening to our conversation that we had last week because I do think that's so important. Having said that, though, I do think to help alleviate some fear is to give some practical steps. Mm-hmm. What do we do? And so this is where we get into this IPES strategy. And each of those letters is an action that we can do, a very practical action coming out of the biblical conviction. So the first thing is I. What is I? Well, the I stands for identify. So we're going to ask the question, how do I know if I'm living a faithful life on mission? Well, the first marker for that is have you identified the people that Jesus has sent you personally back to? Do you know your mission field by name? So that it's not just this faceless sea of humanity, but it's actually people you know and deeply care about. You know their stories. You know their history. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your daughter. Maybe it's an uncle. Maybe it's a coworker that you've had a great relationship with for years. You know, I think it's time that the mission field becomes personal for us. You know, because I believe it was personal to the Lord to come back and redeem his people. And, you know, I think in Mark 5, for example, Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. Most of us know this story, but after he heals him, I think there's a fascinating interaction where this man who has been ostracized by the community looks at Jesus as he's getting ready to get back into the boat to leave, and he says, "Can I go with you?" But Jesus doesn't permit him to go, which you think, man, if there's anybody that Jesus would take with him, it'd be this poor guy, right? Everybody is already doesn't like him. But Jesus says to him in Mark 5:19, he says, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to build an entire theology off of one verse, but I think there's something very practical that we can pull out of this. Jesus says, go home to your friends. Go home to these specific people and point them to me. And so that's why I think it's so important that we take time to know who have I been sent back to.
And I would just add, you know, again, I'm an everyday believer. I'm driving around. I'm in Rochester. I'm in Toronto. I'm in Buffalo. I mean, this is our listening audience. I think the other interesting part of this is don't always just look far away to the mission field. The mission field is very close to you. And so sometimes you will see instances of people going, man, how do I reach my neighbors? How do I reach my coworkers? And there's almost no conversation of how to reach their children or to reach their cousin or to reach their grandparent. And I realize like there that you know that it becomes you know kind of complex. You know, I because I was a you know I came to know Christ in college. I didn't grow up in an evangelical Christian home. You know that presented some challenging conversations after giving my life to Jesus. But I mean, one of the things I was so grateful for was when I was being discipled out of the church that I gave my life to Jesus in. It was a very similar. You know, every college break that came up, hey, Coz, when you go home, how are you going to try to bring the gospel to your dad? How are you going to try to share the gospel with your sister? How are you going to try to share the gospel with your brother? I mean, this was my immediate family. My mom was already a believer. But I remember being built up by these men and these women who were encouraging me in my faith that when I would go home for Thanksgiving, when I would go home for winter break, when I would go home for spring break, hey, Coz, what are you doing? What are you doing to make sure that you're being the intentional presence of the gospel, looking for those gospel opportunities? And for me, it started with my immediate family. And I just thought it was very profound because a lot of times we look much further away than the network that we presently have.
Well, and I think that also provides for us excuse why we don't engage in it because it is far away, and I'm not called to go far away. And when you bring it close to home and it is your family and you're looking your dad in the eye or it is that best friend of yours, I think that that causes us then to come into a confrontation within our own selves to go, either the gospel's going to be the conviction that I live my life in the inside of, or I really don't believe it. You know, and I know when my mission field got close and it was my children. You know, and it was my aunts and uncles. You know, all of a sudden now, do I believe the gospel or don't I?
Right.
Because if I believe it, I have to do something to be used by God to help them have a repeated opportunity to hear and see the gospel in action through my life and through my words.
You bring up a really, really interesting point that relates to this identify issue or this finding people that are close to us issue. I forget the comedian. It was Penn or Teller, one of those guys. You know where I'm going with this. Where he said, how awful do you have to be to believe that I'm going to hell and not tell me about it?
Absolutely.
And I like what you said, because either you believe it or you don't. And I was faced with that even, and this is a whole other episode, but I was even faced with that when my 33-year-old brother, who walked with the Lord, came home as an attorney in the Buffalo area and suddenly passed away. And it was heartbreaking to our family. But it was one of those things where it's like, okay, this is time. Do you really believe that he's in heaven or don't you? Because that defines your reaction. Not that you're not sad and not that you don't mourn, you know, being separated from him for a period. But that really, your belief about eternity defines how you, whether that ruins you for life. Or whether you say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you in this moment. And that's the same thing with sharing the gospel, because really you're saving lives.
Absolutely. You know, you think of Matthew 9, where Jesus is going through the villages, proclaiming the kingdom, healing people. And then we have this I think, picture into this, I think, intimate moment for Jesus as he's looking across the landscape and the people that, because he's God, he knows intimately. It says that he was moved with compassion. He was broken for these people. And that drove him. Not only was it the love of his Father that drove him, but it was his love for us. And then he says, pray that more workers will go out into the harvest field. And then in the very next chapter, he sends the very ones he asks to pray for more workers. You know, but I think we can learn something from that. Jesus looked across at the faces and the people, and I love you. I dearly love you, and how much more will that be true of us when we look at these names and our mission field becomes personal, that we have to, man, I love these people, and I love my Jesus, and so I have to bring these two together, you know, and I also think it brings intentionality to the way that we live life. You know, I was confronted with this myself, where I have lived personally next to neighbors for years and barely known their name. I have, you know,
it's difficult, everybody's running everywhere, especially if you have young kids. You know, we have the same issue. We are friends with our neighbors, but to spend any real time to invest in them, it's hard.
It's very hard, which is why I think once we've identified our mission field and it's by name, mm-hmm. I think it's important that now we ask ourselves a different question. And I think that that question is, well, now what do I do? How do I begin to impact these people? And this is what brings us to the second. Right. So we have I and identify, then we go to the P, which is pray. I think the first thing that we need to do, because people are busy, because people aren't looking for him, because I need a heart change, because I need God to do this. God didn't send us into the mission to do this, and he watches us and hopes we succeed. He's with us, and we need to be dependent missionaries mm-hmm. that live our evangelistic life on our knees. Mm-hmm. And so the reality is, I think we need to begin to create space in our life where I am praying on behalf of these people. And so, you know, I think, you know, we need to not just pray for like general blessing over them, or just, you know, those are fine. But I think specifically that it would be very important for us to craft space in our life where we are praying that God saves these people, mm-hmm. that God gives us boldness.
Yeah. Give me an opportunity.
These are the things that Paul asked prayer for.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that the church routinely asked prayer for. So I'm thinking about, if I could use this weird mm-hmm. term, evangelistic prayer. Mm-hmm. God, save this person. Open a door for me. God, give me boldness. God, give me clarity. God, help me see ways that I can serve them and love them. And so the quantifiable marker to that is, as we've asked, can people pray at least for at least one person per day? Mm-hmm. Can we create space in our life where I'm going to devote my most precious commodity time to pray for one person?
So you're listening to Christ Together Radio. Pastor Jim Murphy and Pastor Ryan Cozy here. Guys, I'm going to ask you this question about the pray, the pray step or level. To me, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where commitment happens, because as believers, we know, we down deep, we know that if we start praying for opportunities, they're coming our way.
Yeah.
So this is where we've got to kind of take that step of faith in that, because it's almost like a scary thing now, because I start praying for this next door neighbor. Guess what? You're going to get an opportunity. God's going to open that door.
Absolutely.
And now you better be ready. So to me, this is the big step.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's necessary. I mean, what does prayer do? It builds our intimacy with the God who's brought us to himself. It reminds us that we're dependent. You know, God, like you said, works through that. I mean, when you pray for the lost, that God would save them and give you, you're praying in his will. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wonder if that's in the will of God. Mm-hmm. He's given us that in his word very clearly.
What happens if you've been praying? I'm sure there are people out there like this that have been praying for a specific person, a father, a mother, a loved one, for years, and they haven't seen anything happen.
Well, I think two things. Number one, we need to find comfort that this is God's mission, not ours. And when we pray, I think it reminds us that we're not the ones responsible to save them.
But you're going to get all reformed on me.
Well, you know, I'm
just kidding.
I don't want to offend anybody.
I'm teasing you.
Okay, good. I got hot all of a sudden. but I do think, you know, Jesus says in Luke 10, for example, he uses these terms. This is his harvest field.
Yeah.
Pray that more workers would go into his harvest field.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? And so let's rest in that. But number two, let's ask ourselves a very hard question. Am I being faithful? Am I being faithful with the opportunities that God is giving me with my father that I've been praying for years? Mm-hmm. Am I just passively praying, which is the first step? Or am I also doing what Paul says in Colossians 4:2, pray and be watchful mm-hmm. in it. And so, you know, I think we need to rest that God's over this. But number two, I think we need to ask, am I being faithful?
Mm. You know, it's funny, like I'm listening to this and I feel as I watch this, I'm like, man, or watch the dialogue here. Mm-hmm. I'm learning again. I'm learning again, like how do I take responsibility? And just a quick comment on the prayer, like an evangelistic prayer. One of the things that's shaped me most, I know we're running out of time in this segment, but is the idea of my prayer has been less about, hey, just bless those people. Like that's certainly a part of it. But when I know someone is not broken by the gospel, it starts with, Lord, break them to the gospel. Mm. Break them to the gospel. Because I do believe people are born, they live, they die, they're judged. And that's a very eternal sort of a belief system.
Yeah.
And so, anyway.
That's heavy.
Yeah, it's incredibly heavy. This stuff is not light.
That's a whole show right there.
Yeah.
And I would say one last thing, praying that God would break us for them as well.
First.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We've gone over identify and pray for those that we want to reach with the gospel. We'll be right back on Christ Together Radio.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson here with Ryan Cozy. We're hosting today as we invited Jim Murphy, Pastor Jim Murphy from Restoration Church into studio. If you were listening earlier, we talked about two different steps to take as you begin to engage with others on mission. The first one was identify, and the second one was pray. And we're just going to finish up that second step. There's two more to go through in the rest of today's show. I want to remind you to listen back to last week's show with Pastor Jim Murphy. That's online at wdcxradio.com. Go to programs, then click Christ Together Radio, and you can get all of our previous shows. But listen to that one as we then identify today the how and kind of how to engage on mission. Pastor Jim, we were just talking about pray, step two, and how important that is, and we just wanted to finish that up. And you had a couple final thoughts with that, so I'm going to let you go ahead.
Yeah, very quick. And so write down these names of people. You know, like let's not keep them in the cloud. Yeah. Like, let's actually write these names down and put them somewhere where you're going to engage with these names regularly. I know people that have taped these to the mirror of their bathroom. I know people that have filled things out. And
you have to be careful with that, because when those people come over and their name's on your bathroom mirror, that's awkward.
True. If you have an ensuite, as I've learned on HGTV, that can work.
Why is my name on your bathroom?
Yeah. That just got weird. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry.
No, you're...
Let's get back on track.
Very practical step. I think number two, you know, people put up the names in their phone, put them in their Bible, you know, just different ways that you can interact with. But then number two is finding that time in your day where you are building your prayer plan. So, you know, one of the things that I've done is I have a notes app on my phone. I have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, through Sunday. Mm-hmm. I have a name or two next to each day of the week, and then I give myself a reminder. Mm-hmm. At 2 o'clock every day, I get a reminder. My circle prayer is what I call this. Yeah. You know, these are the people in my circle.
Yeah.
So at 2 o'clock, I take time and I begin to pray for them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think, you know, it's not just, oh, wow, these are good practical steps. My question is, as in everything we're going to talk about, how are you actually going to build the time in your day to do this?
Right.
Yeah. So we have, you know, for those listening, we've gone through the first two. We've gone through identify. We've gone through pray, just, you know, what you just explained. Now we're going to talk about the third part of this, which is E. So take it away.
Yeah. So the third aspect then is engage. So I've identified my mission field. I'm now praying for these people. But now comes the time where I need to now engage them. This is where our lives begin to intersect in real time. And I think this is really another point where the rubber hits the road,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
And I think that if we're going to be faithful missionaries that engages our lost world, I think it really starts with this first thought, and that is, have I postured my life to be available?
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about what Jesus did, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
The Son of God, sent by the Father, postured himself to be available. He was available in the flesh. He entered into our world. He lived among us. He intentionally made himself available through his actions, through his deeds, through his time, through the way he engaged. He did this to show the world who he is and who the Father is in both word and in deed. And over and over and over in the Gospels, we see how Jesus made himself available to us and to others, even when he was busy.
Wow.
Even when he was busy. I think about, you know, the woman at the well. You know, he was tired. He was tired,
mm-hmm.
right? And a woman walks up who's a project.
Yeah, and he waited for her.
And he waited for, and he's still engaged. I think of the woman with the issue with blood. You know, crowds are all around him. He's on his way to do something else. but he makes time to engage with her. I think of the Roman centurion. I think of children that came to him. And these are just a few of the instances of him making himself available. And so as followers of Jesus, 1 John 2:6 says that we must, if we're going to be followers of him, we must walk in the manner in which Jesus walked. Mm-hmm. I think that's the greatest definition of discipleship biblically, you know, that I can see. That we need to make ourselves available. We need to make ourselves available by showing genuine love, by displaying the gospel through our presence with others, and to open up opportunities for blessing for others. But here's what this is going to mean is, how do I know if I'm postured to be available? Well, that means I need to spend time with these people that God has put in my life. And now I know what everybody's thinking. Time is the one thing I don't have. Right. But here's the part that if I could figure out a different way to say this, it would make it much easier. But I honestly just can't. Here's the truth. To live a life on mission is going to require a complete reorientation of our life. But isn't that the gospel?
Yeah, it should change us.
It should change us.
Right.
It should change my priorities. It should change my life is not, I don't want to craft my time to be self-centered. I want to shape my life to be God-centered and to be others-centered. Which is that not the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love others?
Yeah.
So should I not posture my life to do those things as I'm living my life?
Yeah, and I think this is a good point too. Remember, even as we were talking earlier, for some of you, the immediate, you know, there's a relational sphere of influence that you have, and there's a geographic sphere of influence that you have. So for those people going, wow, reorientation of my life, it could also mean that it's not as drastic from the standpoint of, what am I doing to be intentional with my children? What am I doing to be intentional with my mom? Or, you know, some people come to Christ and their spouse is not a believer. I mean, this is a very real conversation. So, you know, sometimes it's just front and center and you go, okay, Lord, help me to live with that sort of gospel intentionality. I want my children to come to know you. I want my bride to come to know you. I want my parents or my cousins to come to know you. And so it's just posturing yourself as you have those just natural rhythms of time with those sorts of people, those relatives that you have. So it could start there.
Absolutely. I remember I took a group into a grocery store on a week they were visiting where I was pastoring to do a mission trip for the week. I took them into a grocery store and I gave them each like $20. And I said, here's the deal. We all need food for the week. So we've got some money, so go shop. But here's the one thing I want you to do. Use your shopping and the task that you have to get done as an opportunity to engage someone.
Hmm.
Yeah. So we have to shop anyway.
Right.
But try to engage someone. And they all came back and they said, every time we've gone into the grocery store, we've had our task list, we've had our item list, and we've viewed people as getting in the way of that. Rather than inverting it on its head and saying, my task list gives me an opportunity to engage people.
Two very quick stories in relation to that. First one is, I'm at a restaurant, my wife and I with two of our friends, and we have a waitress who just, I always try to strike up a conversation. How you doing? You know, just talking to her. And the key here is, and the kind of undergirding theme here is start God conversations, start spiritual conversations somehow. So she's saying, I'm having a horrible day. I was on my way and I didn't even want to come into work. And I said, by the way, do you go to church anywhere? Oh, I need to get back in church. You know, I was just, so we began to talk and she said that she cried out to God on the way to work that night that if there's anybody out there who's real, if there's anything out there and you're real, send someone to me tonight.
Absolutely.
And we happened. So if we wouldn't have started a God conversation, she may never have heard. And we were able to share some things with her. Next situation, it's difficult. I was on a plane with my wife again and a college professor sitting next to us and tried time and time again to start a God conversation. And it was slammed in my face. It was like, next thing, shut my face. One time it worked, one time it didn't. It doesn't mean you don't try.
Absolutely.
Because you never know.
Absolutely. And I think that when you posture yourself to be available, you create space to invite others close to you. So now a couple things happen. Number one, you're building relational credibility. You know, because the hope is that we can place, as you just shared, mm-hmm. gospel proclamation in the context of conversation,
right.
in the midst of real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It has to be sincere.
It has to be sincere.
You have to care about them.
And you're not always going to start in the same place because people are we have the same gospel, mm-hmm. but there's different entry points to that gospel. Mm-hmm. And I want to build a relationship with someone so that they, number one, see my credible witness. The gospel has changed me. Yeah. The gospel is changing my family and my marriage and the way, you know, I want them to see the kingdom of God on display in my life as I engage them and interact with them. How are they going to see that if they're not up close?
Yeah. Right.
Right? But then also, when I'm in, you know, getting to know them and engaging them, the well-placed question changes everything. Mm-hmm. And so you know, I think part of it is we do need to become more comfortable talking about spiritual things. And I actually believe the world that we're around is more interested in having spiritual conversations
Absolutely.
Than we give them credit
I
for.
I think we put up these fake walls because we're nervous. They're just regular conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think we oftentimes need to give people in the world more credit.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, they don't want to be preached at yeah. around the
but
kitchen
they're willing
table.
To talk about anything.
But they'll talk about anything. Yeah. And so if we can take the posture of a listener and a learner and a server through the way we engage, because we're talking about presence right now, right? This mm-hmm. is the presence of my life. We'll get to the next phase in a minute, but I think sometimes we skip right to proclamation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I want to pick up on this real quick. So one of the things that I try to help people with in this conversation is the commodity of time is really it's our most valuable form of currency. A lot of
sure.
people think the dollar, but I mean when you really look at our life, I mean we need money. Okay, but time as currency. And one of the things that I try to help people understand is time requires time. And so the idea that you, if you jump to proclamation, and the most tangible evidence of this in my life was when I first became a Christian. I gave my life to Jesus in room 147, Batchelder Hall at Bowling Green State University. And the light went on for me, and I thought, I have to tell everybody about this. And I was a pretty outgoing person at the time. I become more introverted as I get older. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but maybe it's a deep cynicism. I don't know exactly. But I immediately thought, I have to tell every dude on my dorm floor, I need to tell them about Jesus. So I started a Bible study, and I just started talking about Jesus. I mean, and it was probably the most God-awful Bible study that anybody could ever attend. But I hung a shingle and said, we're going to talk about the Bible. And, you know, people had all these questions. And I just, you know, hey, here's the answer. It's real simple. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And, you know, I would just take that Romans road mm-hmm. that I had experienced. And I just would, you know. But the reality was there was a couple things working against me. Number one, well, there was a few. Methodology probably wasn't the greatest, okay? But then two, I had lived such a different life up to that moment in time that people had an understandable skepticism because they just didn't know if this was a flash in the pan.
This is the next thing.
Or is this Cozy's real life change? And you know what's crazy is in particular, I've maintained a deep friendship with my college roommate who to this day has not given his life to Jesus. Hmm. But every opportunity that I have with him, and I just recently saw him, his mom unfortunately passed away very suddenly here in Western New York, and I had a chance to see him. I had a chance to pray with him and over him in the hospital. Asking that God would heal his mom, but then also just thinking about, Lord, please plant the gospel in this person's life. And it has been 20 years since we went to college together. Mm-hmm. But I really believe, like, I have gone to the point of proclamation repeatedly with him, but I have walked it out over time, and he has seen the fruit of the gospel in my life. It's imperfect, but he's seen it. Mm-hmm. And just helping people understand time requires time. And we manage those opportunities. Lord, bring those opportunities for proclamation, and let's not shy away from it. I know we're going to talk about that, but letting time have time.
Well, I think that's important because I believe we need to have a sense of urgency when we engage our mission field, but not be in a hurry.
Yes.
The urgency causes me to go, Lord, let every interaction that the world has with me reflect you and point them to you. Let that be true with my deeds, with my words, with the way that I serve, with the way that I care, but don't let me be reckless. Because I think we could be reckless when we're in a hurry, that every conversation I've got to instantly get to the Romans Road, or every, sometimes, you know, people are coming more and more from a completely unchurched background. They need time to process. They have hurts and pains, and they've got questions. And you know what? I want to provide opportunity for them to see that the gospel's made a difference in my life.
Yeah, I mean, like, in the past, there was an assumption of God. And so you at least had some sort of starting point. Now, we live in a society that's very, you know, post-Christian. And so they may not even have you have to start at like ground zero.
Yes.
And that requires listening a lot, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes. And so the real tangible then component to engage is to say, okay, how can I engage at least one person per week in an intentional way so that I'm building relationship that will ultimately point them to Jesus?
Just begin.
And you're thinking about, again, this is, the predication here is, and we're thinking about the tens. We're not thinking about hundreds or thousands. We're thinking about the tens, like these relationships that you have every day.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson with Ryan Cozier. Our guest, Pastor Jim Murphy, pastor at Restoration Church. We're talking about engaging people with the gospel and in a 2-week series about the mission of God and how we can make it personal in our lives. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson with Ryan Cozy. Jim Murphy joining us, pastor at Restoration Church today. We're talking about how to engage people on God's mission as you go. And our last segment was about engaging people and being available for conversations about God and starting conversations so that we can reach people within our sphere of influence with the gospel. So, Jim, you're going to finish off today with our final step in the how. And again, not a plan, not a presentation of I got to do these four things. It's just these are four things that will help you, right? And we had some good conversation actually over the break about this last step. So I'm just going to let you take this away as you've been doing, and I think that's been beneficial. So go ahead.
Absolutely.
What's S?
So I think, what we're trying to do is, like you said, I think it's really important, is craft a lifestyle that helps us answer the question, am I living a life on mission in a real tangible way? So again, to review, you are living a life of mission as you continually grow in identifying your mission field and filling out those names. Mm-hmm. You're growing in mission as you're creating space in your day to pray for at least one person per day that you've identified. You're living on mission if you're posturing your life to be available to someone that you're praying for because you've identified them by spending time with them. And finding ways to be a blessing for them and asking questions and building a relationship. If you can point to at least one time a week where I'm doing that, then you're living on mission. Mm-hmm. This fourth step, the S, is really getting into the share, mm-hmm. which is really where all of this is leading towards. We do want to proclaim the gospel. What we want to wed presence and proclamation together. You need both. And before we get there, I just want to say a couple quick things before we get to share, because as I'm engaging in praying and identifying, I think it's important that I understand some critical things for my life. Number one, we need to do this in the context that I'm pursuing God daily, right? Like intimacy yeah. with the Father is the greatest gift of the gospel. And so, let's be in the Word. Let's be people who love and cherish Jesus in the world's midst. I want them to know that I actually love Jesus and that I'm growing and building the relationship that he's given me. Number two, I think it's important that as we live in this manner, I want to grow in deep trust of the Spirit of God. I want to trust the Spirit of God that he is doing exactly what he's been called to do in the world, that he is convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He is lifting the name of Jesus and opening hearts and undarkening eyes, that he has empowered me to be the faithful witness. You know, I want to grow in a deep trust of the Spirit. And then number three, in the mission that I live, I want to be myself. You know, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you can live on mission. It's just going to look different. you know, this gets back to the tens and thousands conversations. There are extroverts that are listening right now that are like, oh, man, I could do this. I already spend a lot of time with people. Right. This is great. Boom, boom, boom. Well, my charge to the extroverts would be make sure your extroversion is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Now, there's the introverts out there that are saying, there's no way I can do this. But, you know, I think of introverts a lot. My wife is an introvert, mm-hmm. and she's one of the most missional people I know. But because what she'll do is she'll go deep with two or three people.
Mm-hmm.
So the question for an introvert is be faithful with your two or three relationships. You know?
And that is so important because like there's just this assumption that, okay, I have to be something that God has not made me to be. Mm-hmm. And so if God has wired you to be an introvert, the reality is he probably is going to align you with other folks that may be personality-wise oriented like you, and you have this ability to engage them because you're wired like them.
Absolutely.
And just the same for the ambivert or the extrovert. Like, you know, God's not making mistakes when he's drawing you in. Now, there's points where he'll challenge you. There's points where he's going to want you to be a little bit more bold in your faith, or maybe you have to speak less and listen more, or maybe you need to speak more and listen less. I mean, those are all these points. But in the natural rhythm of engaging folks, it's amazing how God can use your personality type in conjunction with advancing his mission in the region.
Right? Absolutely. These people know you as you. Don't feel you need to become someone else. The Spirit's gifted you. The Spirit's empowered you to be his witness, just as you are. Introversion and extroversion are not products of the fall, I don't think. Yeah. They're just personality types.
Yeah.
Right. So the question is, be faithful.
They're actually how God designs his church to be used and grow. And,
right.
And different people will respond better to one or the other, and I think God will orchestrate that in people's
right.
lives,
just,
too.
Just be faithful. Yeah. And so then the fourth thing, which leads into the share, is I think we also need to understand the power and the sufficiency of the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we live Scripture-informed lives, not only for others, because we're talking about evangelism, but for ourselves, that I see a biblical worldview, that I understand that God's word has power, has authority, and is sufficient for all of life. You know, I think of Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9. These are very informative scriptures for me, not just in my own personal walk, but in my life of mission, where the Psalms here describe God's word, and it says things like, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And that the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And so as I'm engaging a world, no matter how hostile it may be, no matter how many objections they may have, or academic postulate, I'm not even using a good word here. You can tell them, you know, but
you mean well.
I mean well. I'm trying. I've got a good heart.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're trying, you know, but yeah. That doesn't change what God's word is. Perfect,
right.
Sure,
that's
right, true, right. Pure, righteous.
And I think a lot of times our insecurities are kind of stemming out of the fact that we are insecure about what we know about God's word because we're not getting into it on a daily basis and learning more and renewing our minds. If you look at the breadth of Scripture, renewing your mind or the mind is talked about a whole lot. And I think that's why it's so that you frame your biblical worldview based on Scripture so you have that confidence to share Christ.
Imagine if we viewed mission and bringing the gospel to a lost world more like the way we would talk about our wives and children than a historical presentation.
Mm-hmm.
I know the illustration runs out, but
yeah.
I know my wife and kids.
Right.
I don't have, like, I'm with them daily, right? It's the same with, I have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just about me filling my head with facts. This is about me growing in intimacy with the God who has graciously invited me into his presence.
But if you're picking up your kid from school and not talking much and then going home and not spending much time with your kids, you start to not know
exactly.
The details of their lives. And it's the same thing. If you're not carrying on a relationship, an intimate relationship with God, you are going to be insecure about sharing him because you don't know.
Absolutely. And the reality is I don't want to live my evangelistic proclamation on my own words and authority. If I want to know how weak my words and authority is, just put a cat across a room and with my words try to get it to come to me. Mm-hmm. Or put me in a room full of
cats.
Yeah. Or put me in a room full of, you know, 30 toddlers that are all hyped up on sugar and just with my word going silent. See if that works. Yeah. But yet ponder this. God's word revives the soul. God's word brings life. The word of Christ raised Lazarus from the dead and calmed the winds and the waves. So if I want to faithfully point people to Jesus, I want to root what I have to say in what God says and has already revealed. Wow. So this is important for us, that we do live a life that is growing in a working knowledge of God's word.
Pastor Jim, what are some key things to understand as we go to the as we go through these four areas of sharing, and we finally get to sharing the yeah. presentation of the gospel? What are some key things to understand in our next few minutes here?
I think fundamentally we need to understand the gospel message doesn't change. It's his message, and it will be the same for all time, and it transcends culture, humanity, everything. But in that, I need to grow in my understanding of it, because I do believe that in our day, we need to move from just memorizing a presentation that I'm going to try to get in there, to actually having a deeper understanding, a fluency of the gospel that allows me to have conversations, that there can be multiple entry points around the gospel message that allows for a much more authentic transaction of the gospel to happen, as opposed to now I'm just going to try to force feed you this presentation. I think that in a culture that is continually questioning, that is continually wanting to valuing authenticity, and do you like, and also values passing the sniff test. Did you just memorize something, or is this really in you? So I think the word of God, Colossians 3, allow the word of Christ to dwell within you richly, is so important for us to remember, because there's going to be multiple different ways that I need to share the gospel with people.
Yeah, if you're checking a box, they're going to sniff it out.
They're going to sniff it out.
Yeah. Well, but to this point, though, there are some very practical ways in which we can share the gospel. And so there are, you know, for me, the light went on when somebody walked me through what's called the Romans Road, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 and 10. That was something that somebody, now, I believe it was deep in their heart, they were convinced of this, but it was a clear form way that they could share this with me. But I also know that there are other times where people, they share their story. How did you come to know Jesus? What was it that was very clear to you in God's word? And how did you go about becoming a Christian? So you can share it that way. There are other ways to do this, but you know, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think this is really important, because I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are great evangelistic proclamation methods out there. Like you just said, the Romans Road is fantastic. There's another one that's been out there, I believe, God, humanity, Jesus response. You know, it's more kind of a theological construct that you can grow to understand. So the gospel begins with God, and that he's the creator of all things, and then it moves the humanity created in his image that is fallen. Jesus was sent to redeem that, and now we have a response to that message. You know, so I think it's talking with your pastor, you know, reading other resources to find out what methods can begin to work for me in a way that not only, you know, faithfully shares the gospel, but that helps me understand the why I'm sharing this particular message or this particular thing. Mm-hmm. So when I'm asked a question off script, that I'm not thrown for a loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. Well, and I, so for us, like just very practically, most of the people that we're starting with in our church, and again, we're using the My Circle training, which you've created, Jim. We get to a point where we actually have people write out their grace story. What was your life like before coming to know Jesus? What was your life like at the point of coming to know Jesus? And what has your life been like since following Jesus? And they actually write this out in a letter format. And for those, again, the low hanging on ramp for us, that low hanging fruit, is a challenge to them to look them in the eye and say, now this letter that you've written, with the relationships that you've identified, the people that you've been praying for and how you've been engaging them, is there a way that you can give this letter to them or sit down with them and explain this to them? What would that look like? That becomes a very practical on-ramp for an everyday follower of Christ. And folks have said, my first missional step in this, in IPES, in the share part of it, was I took my grace story in a letter format and I gave it to some of my relatives as part of my Christmas gift, or as part of, hey, I know you think I'm different, but I took some time to write out what is different about me, and I wanted to give you this. And it's a very vulnerable thing for people to do, but it's this on-ramp to helping them to get better at this.
And I would say it is the first step. We need, I mean, what did Jesus say to the demoniac in Mark 5? Go home mm-hmm. to your friends and tell them how the Lord has had mercy on you. Mm-hmm. That's his, go tell them your story. And what I think is so critical is that our stories aren't just, I was bad and now I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just these moral relativistic, I tried Jesus because my life was bad, because a lost world's going to go, well, that's great. My life was bad and I tried this. And now you're like on this moralistic common. No, no. Our grace stories need to point to the transformation of how the redeeming work of Christ
yes.
changed my life yeah. and then leaves them with something to think about.
And those of us who've grown up in the church, and I was saved at a very young age, so I don't have this like, oh, I was in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And, you know, now at four, that doesn't happen. So
it'd be very odd.
But yeah. what it is how has God worked in your life? And I've seen moments where God has orchestrated my life, and that's the grace story. It's post-Christ, but it's how God has orchestrated my life to where I'm at now. Hey, I wish we could go all day. We've got to kind of wind up the show here. So listen, go to Christ Together. Well, go to Christ Together.org. Yeah, that's fine. And also listen, go to WDSexRadio.com, click on Christ Together and listen to our past episodes, re-listen to this episode. And hey, we could go on all day with this, guys. But if you have questions, email us at ctr@wdcxradio.com. And if you go to the website, there's a form right on there that you can email us and let us know if you have questions. We'd love to even go further with you. Jim, the My Circle training, is that available to churches or anybody who wants it? How can they get it
quickly?
You
can actually go to www.mycircletraining.com, and there's a website there that will begin to give you access to the material, the training, and also if they want to email me directly, you can send an email there.
All right. Pastor Jim Murphy, pastor at Restoration Church, along with Dan Trippi, who was our first guest. And you were better than him. I'm just saying, you know.
This is recorded, right?
So, yeah, it is. No. Anyway, and Ryan, for Ryan Cozy, I'm Brett Larson. And we'll see you next week right here on Christ Together Radio.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.